You're listening to the Douglas Jacoby Podcast. Here we bring you some of the material found on Douglas's website in podcast form. We hope that as you listen, you're challenged to think about faith. Today, Douglas continues his series on last things, now looking at 2012 and the end of the world. For more on this episode, follow the link in the show notes to Douglas's website. Want to win a chance for a free tour of Israel? From March 1st to June 8th, Douglas's new website subscribers have the chance to be entered into a draw for a free tour. There are two ways to win. You can become a new website member or ask a friend to sign up. Then email confirmation of the subscriptions by replying to Douglas's newsletter. There's no limit to the number of entries. Sign up 5 friends, be entered 5 times. The winner will be announced in early July. Now here's today's teaching.
2010, 2012, and the end of the world. This is the first podcast in a series on current events and issues. Is the world going to end soon? Or will 2012 inaugurate a momentous new epoch for all of humanity, bringing us to a higher level of consciousness? Did the ancient Mayans capture some insight into the nature of the cosmos, an insight lost to us moderns? Is there something we must rediscover? In late 2009, the movie 2012 was released. Many books have been written. There are numerous websites, a rash of television programs, and certainly it's a theme familiar to all of us. The other night, I happened to be seeing a TV program on this very topic. It claimed that the Mayans had left clues as to when this incredible event would happen, and they had left them in hieroglyphs in the South Pacific, of all places. This does not seem very likely. In fact, the whole program seemed sensationalistic. There wasn't much science in it. It was more science fiction. The few scraps of history that were there were overblown, were exaggerated. And this is a human tendency, isn't it? Do you remember Y2K? When computer clocks at midnight, 1999, would or perhaps would not flip over to the next year, 2000. And so many predicted the world would grind to a halt. But what happened? Did all the computers go berserk or shut down? Did the world banks lose all their money because of some massive electric and electronic failure? No, not at all. The year 2000 came with barely a ripple. There's really nothing new under the sun in this regard. Every generation has its doomsday prophets. The truth is, throughout the history of Christianity, there have been so many predictions of the end, not just from mainstream Christians, but from cultists and sectarians. So many have made predictions of the end. When I went to university, I had a couple of friends at the beginning. One was an atheist, one was a Jehovah's Witness. The Jehovah's Witness was named Mark. He was a nice guy. But he was a little bit sad, a bit down. And the reason was that at that time, the latest prediction of the Watchtower Society or the Jehovah's Witnesses was that Jesus would come back in 1975. Well, I went into college in 1977. And so Mark was just down because his family had taken their leader's words very seriously, and yet the end did not come. These predictions may be interesting for many. For others, they're very serious. They're very disappointing. When people sell all their possessions and are standing on a mountaintop waiting to be taken up, we're not just talking theory. I think part of it is that people love to predict things. Religious people, atheists, it doesn't really matter. We all like to have some knowledge of the future. We'd like to know what's going to happen, who will be elected, whether we'll be successful, which horse will win the race, what the weather may bring. Even though the experts, the meteorologists, generally predict very poorly after 3 days. We will be glued to our television sets or computer screens, watching the next storm come across the country. Knowing a little bit about what's going on out there gives us a sense of security, even looking at the thermometer. This morning I got up and I looked out and it was several degrees below freezing. Well, that's information, and information is power. And maybe that's why so many people like watching the Weather Channel. Admittedly, insider knowledge is more interesting. It's more thrilling than knowing that a cold front from Kansas may come to our state in the next 36 hours. But I've always been fascinated with this kind of stuff. I remember when I was a kid, 9 years old, in fact. It was 1968. A movie came out called 2001, A Space Odyssey. It seemed so futuristic and so far away. A couple of years later, it was 1970. I was so excited. It was a new decade. 1980 seemed very far away. I had watched some TV program on how the increased air pollution by 1980 would be blocking the sun, cloaking many U.S. cities behind clouds of smog, and we'd hardly be able to see. Well, that prediction was partly fulfilled by 1980. But in the 70s, I used to actually have dreams at night in my bed. I would dream about the end of the world, maybe because this was the decade of the disaster movie. There were rogue waves, earthquakes, burning buildings. These days, asteroid collisions are more popular. Alien invasions are popular too, but they've always been popular. The 1980s came. The world was not choked in pollution, at least not completely. Soon, the sequel to 2001 came out. It was set in the really distant future. This movie was called 2010. Well, the 80s came and went, the 90s, the year 2000 came. We were fortunate enough to be in Australia at the time, so we entered the 2000s ahead of most of the planet. Well, the truth is, the world could end in any year. And I'm not here to add to the boiling cauldron of predictions, failed, failing, or doomed to fail. Of course, someone someday will predict and get lucky. I mean, if we make a prediction every year, eventually we'll be right. But that's not really a true prophecy. Well, what is the truth about the Mayans and this year, 2012? Well, it is true that ancient Mayans, many did attach some significance to what will be our year, 2012. The Mayans, who are still around, were a great Central American civilization, and they're still here, especially in parts of Mexico and in Guatemala, Belize, Honduras, El Salvador. Central America, their civilization was growing in the second millennium B.C. It reached its apex a few centuries after Christ. And in fact, they were the only culture in this part of the world who had a written language. Well, it's true that the winter solstice in the year 2012 will take place on 21 December. And the Mayans knew that. They knew there would be an interesting alignment in the heavens. The winter solstice sun with the galactic equator, and let's not go into the astronomy right now, but that was an area in which the Mayans were brilliant. They understood a great deal about celestial movement. And it turns out that the year 2012 was the end of one of the cycles of the Mayan calendar. They had cycles that lasted a little bit more than 5,000 years each. Well, you can go to the internet, the web, and you can Google and learn, or you can buy a book. There's a lot out there. What do we need to know? You know, I've been to most of the modern nations that are home to the Mayans, those who survived the Spanish and modern culture. I've been in Mayan temple. I've marveled at several aspects of these ancient people. Their calendar was actually more accurate than the calendars Europeans used at the time, say up to 1582 when the modern calendar went into effect, or even now. Their calculation of the day was much closer, astronomically speaking, than the Western calendars, modern Western calendars. And the Mayans were advanced in astronomy, no question, but they were incredibly primitive in other areas. They didn't have a proper system of weights. Even simple inventions like the potter's wheel or the plow eluded them. They didn't develop metal tools or pulleys. They didn't even have a wheel. All the pyramids, large structures that they built, were constructed by human muscle alone and using wooden tools. The Mayans, like nearly all ancient peoples, at least as far as I can tell, looking at history, the Mayans practiced human sacrifice. They took psychedelic drugs. They were very superstitious. They thought that if something bad happened, it was because of evil spirits or the gods weren't happy. Their religious practice involved torture, drugs, great superstition. The culture offers no real direction. It didn't bring the abundant life of which Jesus spoke in John 10:10. Now, I'm not saying that there was no good in the culture, and I'm certainly not saying that all Mayans are bad people. I've met many of them. I can assure you that's not the case. There are many fine people among the Mayans. But I think some have been overly impressed that the Mayans were such good astronomers. Well, there are three reactions we could have. Well, my reaction is I'm pretty amazed at what they were able to accomplish with what they had. A second reaction is the doomsday reaction. It's a very negative view. People look at the end of this period, which ends December 21st, 2012, on the winter solstice, that is the shortest day of the year. They associate that year with the end of the world, or at least the world as we know it. And they're counting down to doomsday. I was at a website recently which actually gives the number of days, hours, minutes, and seconds. And it's a ticking clock, of course, going backwards, up from now to doomsday in 2012. The same website was pushing reincarnation and various political conspiracies, prophecies, so-called, of Nostradamus, the appearances of the Virgin Mary throughout history, earthquakes, floods, the emergence of cosmic consciousness. Well, that's the second view. This doomsday view that maybe the world's going to end. A third view is much more positive. Many who are associated with the New Age movement believe that in December 2012, the planet may undergo a positive spiritual transformation. 2012 will mark the beginning of a new era, something reminiscent of the Age of Aquarius. Those are three reactions to the data. Well, who proposes this view that 2012 is going to change the world as we know it, change it forever? And I'd like to mention seven people. I won't give the names, but these men, one is an art historian. He's a student of a Tibetan meditation master named Chögyam Trungpa. I remember when I was in grad school, I read Chögyam Trungpa. This man is also into UFO mythology. Well, a second well-known advocate of the theory is someone who makes disaster movies. In fact, he made Independence Day in the year 2012. A third is a promoter of Christian mysticism, so-called yoga, tarot, and astrology. A fourth is author of Apocalypse 2012 and a promoter of Mayan shamanism. Shamans are witch doctors. A fifth is a Gnostic. And he claims that we need to exorcise Christia from Christianity. We need to get Christian out of Christianity. A sixth is a user of psychedelic drugs. And he's well known for his book on speculations of psychedelic mushrooms, the Amazon, virtual reality, UFOs, evolution, shamanism, the rebirth of the goddess, and the end of history. And the seventh and last is the author of a book on 2012, and a strong promoter of atheism. Yet none of these persons are scientists. None has any qualification in archaeology or anthropology. These are promoters of the New Age, many of whom are involved heavily in drugs, and they stand opposed to biblical Christianity. So if we're going to accept these speculations, and it's not even clear that they come from the Mayans. It seems to be more of a modern conspiracy. then these are the people we'll be following. Now, in contrast to the pseudo-scholarship of a handful of proponents of this 2012 craze, let us ask, what do the real experts say? What do they say about the Mayans? And whether the Mayans' astronomical observation is really an insight into the end of the world? Well, scholars of the Mayan culture agree that the idea that the calendar ends in 2012 is partly true. That is, one of the Mayan cycles ends then. But they disagree that that signals the end of history, the end of time. And the ancient Mayan sources don't paint a coherent picture of this modern interpretation anyway. Well, if we move from the Mayan scholars, Mayanist scholars, to astronomers and others who are experts in the sciences, these persons reject the apocalyptic forecast as unsubstantiated, as bad science. In the social sciences, anthropologists say this is just nonsense. Any field the doomsday speculators enter, they seem to make a hash of. Like the so-called prophecies of Nostradamus or the palm readings of our local, actually the European psychic, people are thrilled and will pay money, and they find the 2012 craze fascinating. Don't underrate the security and pleasure that many people derive from feeling that they have some control over the future, or at least some insight into it. We should also, I think, beware of the financial motives on the part of proponents of this strange theology, errant, erratic. But this stuff sells. However, sensationalistic speculation isn't confined to the 2012 gang. You can find very similar teaching on Christian radio, on television, and various websites. Someone gets up and says something like this: "This is the most exciting period of human history the world has ever seen. These are the last years before the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, all the signs are coming to pass. There are wars and rumors of war, of which the Bible speaks, Matthew 24. In fact, in the 20th century alone, there was World War I, World War II, the Korean and Vietnam and Gulf Wars and other conflicts, and the 21st century is already witnessing a cataclysmic showdown between the forces of evil and the armies of righteousness. At this very moment, the earth teeters on the edge of the nuclear holocaust foretold in the book of Revelation, World War III. How do we know? Well, the whole global weather system is running amok. Tsunamis are devastating millions of square miles of coastline the world over. But wait, this was prophesied in Holy Writ. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea, Luke 21. Furthermore, famine has struck in India and Ethiopia and many other nations, and disease and pestilence are sweeping the land, not to mention earthquakes and tornadoes and the H1N1 virus. Well, we can hear reports like this, where the preacher connects modern events with what he or she thinks to be biblical prophecy. The picture may be a very familiar one. In fact, I'm realizing that many who are listening to me perhaps at one time were led to believe this or something similar. I certainly was. There's one problem with the whole scenario. It's nowhere to be found in the Bible. It's a fantasy made up of science fiction-style theology, wishful thinking, and whatever scripture passages use, they're just wrenched out of context. But it's promoted by the pop theologians of our day. This view is sold in nearly every Christian bookshop, and it's unquestioningly accepted by millions of religious people. Again, this view that the Bible not only foretells all the events, political, meteorological, and so forth, that will accompany the end, but maybe even allows us to predict the year the world will end. This is nothing new in history. Again, in all religions, there are those who want to predict the end of the world. So what is the truth? Well, let's go to the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul the Apostle is writing, "Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the light, to the night, or the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled." Again, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 6. Paul discourages the Thessalonians from getting caught up in unnecessary speculation. He gives them some basic facts in chapters 4 and 5. But here in 5:1, he says that I don't need to write about these events to you because you know, verse 2, that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The point is to be ready. Well, some say, well, what about Matthew 24? Isn't that about the end of the world? Well, in a way, that chapter reminds us of the foundational truths of Jesus' return and judgment and our need to be prepared. But the context is first century Judea. You can go to the link in the notes if you want to read a paper on this. The verse that I would point out, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Matthew 24:36. Jesus is probably referring here to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in the year 70. But why is this verse so important to Christians? I think because we realize that in the same way, we don't know when the world will end. Now, some doomsday prophets are very clever. And they'll say, well, Jesus said, you cannot know the day or the hour, but he didn't say you can't know the year. So at least we can pinpoint the year. But surely this is a misuse of the scripture. Others will say, well, let's go to the book of Revelation. Surely that gives us the timetable. But Revelation, which itself has a context, gives general principles. It doesn't allow us to pinpoint the end. The concern of Revelation is theological, not chronological. The images that are used come from the Old Testament for the most part, and they're giving encouragement and comfort to Christians in the time of the Roman Empire, urging them to understand that God is in control. Yes, at one point, God will intervene in history, the curtain will come down, and it'll be over. And the persecutors, the Romans, will not be standing. But those are general principles. It doesn't give specific dates. One more scripture, I think, speaks to this issue. And that's in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll begin in verse 9. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming." What is the Apostle Peter saying? Well, the end of the world, the coming of the Lord, if we look at it as a delay, it's to allow a more optimal situation, to allow more people to repent. Paul said something similar in Romans 2, that the Lord's patience means salvation. He's giving us time to repent. But no one knows when this will come. I remember once our family returned to our house. We'd been away for a few days. We returned just as the thief was leaving. Interesting situation. We found a circular hole in a pane of glass on the back door. And he had made that, and he was clearly about to come in. Amazingly, our timing prevented him from taking anything. But there was no warning. There was no phone call. He didn't call and say, by the way, I'll be coming here in the night, and if you can unplug your appliances, I'll be collecting them. You don't get a courtesy call. A thief doesn't do that. You, You just don't know. You've got to be prepared. And so it is, Peter says, with the coming of the Lord. We don't know when it'll happen. The Bible never tells us when the world will end, only that it will. The point is to be ready and to help others to get ready. Some people seem to relish the thought of a tribulation, a period when supposedly the unbelievers are left on the earth, which is subject to an outpouring of plagues, the wrath of God. And we believers will be watching it all from the clouds, from heaven. Well, I'll be critiquing that view and in the next podcast, which is actually on the rapture and the tribulation. The question I would ask is, do we really want the world to end? Now, of course, if we're believers in Christ, we understand that something wonderful awaits us on the other side. Yet still, multitudes have never heard the gospel. They've never heard the message. So, yes, we want to meet the Lord. We want to be ready, but we have to think about others as well. We don't just want the world to end. We want the world to be evangelized. Well, to wrap up, 2012, like 2010, will in all likelihood come and go like any other year. December 21st, 2012 is just another day in history. And like Y2K, it will pass. No mystical spiritual revolution is going to take place. The heavens won't be darkened. We won't be bathed in a sea of lethal radiation. No aliens will return to the earth in this year. The Bible warns against futile speculations and arguments. It tells us not to get sidetracked from what's important, relationship with God and the mission to which He calls us. Knowing some of the facts now about 2012, hopefully we're more prepared to enter in conversation in this area, which is currently of great interest. And even when the 2012 craze is long forgotten, I promise you there'll be other predictions. There always are. There are always people who will make money through sensationalistic journalism and through misrepresenting the facts. May God bless us as we study His Word and take our cues from the Lord, not from so-called gurus and pundits who want to lead us down the path that they've created, which is not the path of God. I hope you've enjoyed the opening lesson of this series, 2010, 2012, and the end of the world. This was the first podcast in the Current Events and Issues series. May I just tell you a little bit more about it? The plan is for weekly podcasts, 50 in all. It's possible to be some extras too. This week, for example, I was doing a study on a topic I feel so strongly about, though I was planning on addressing this in 6 months. I think it can't wait. In fact, I'm going to make sure it gets included in the next version of the evangelism book, Shining Like Stars. But for the most part, we'll follow a program. Now, these issues will be fun, at times controversial. You won't always agree with me, and that's fine. It doesn't bother me. And if I'm speculating, I'll try to make clear this is just my opinion. Please don't let the nature of the discussion sidetrack you from a dynamic and personal walk with God. That there shouldn't be any gulf between head knowledge and heart knowledge. Surely we love God with our mind and our heart, and the two are connected. Well, I hope you found it interesting and relevant, and I pray the entire series will help you to be a better Christian, to have an examined faith, not an unexamined faith. Please use the premium site to grow stronger spiritually. And also, the main website is constantly updated too with new material. May I ask you last, do you have a plan? Most of you listening to this are Bible readers. I would think the majority read every day, at least once a day. If you don't have a plan, why not begin working your way through the New Testament studies at this website? It's nearly a full year. Over 350 studies. It'll take you through every chapter of the New Testament and give you a picture of what's happening, some advanced thoughts, questions for thought, And this way you can go through the entire Bible, the entire New Testament in just under a year. Now for the Old Testament, if you're a new subscriber, you may want to study the lives of men and women in the Old Testament times. People like Jacob, Moses, Miriam, David, Elijah, Esther, lots of others, by listening to the Old Testament podcast series. There's a lot here that's been designed to stimulate us and to call us to a closer walk with the Lord.
We hope you enjoyed Douglas' series on Last Things. For additional notes and resources, be sure to check out Douglas' website in the show notes. The website has hundreds of articles, podcasts, and videos for you to access for free. You can also become a premium subscriber and gain access to thousands of online resources from Douglas' teaching ministry. Thanks again for listening.